Skip Through the Shadows, Scenes from Childhood. In my mother's kitchen.
It had a real big old country stove, big table in the center. We always had a pretty tablecloth on it. When the Sunday dinner, it was always lace. It had a couple of broken chairs, ones with the back out. So my brothers used to sit behind the chairs and just beat on them, put rubber bands across, make noises with them.
Man, it always happens.
The kitchen was the main center of everything. And they would always say, well, stick around the kitchen, listen to the stories and the whys and do's and don'ts. My mom, we'd just be kind of like tailgating around her, talking and helping with little things. We all had separate baking dishes and we could all make our own little breads. It was really fun. And she'd kind of go through what she'd tell you, things from religion growing up. Oh yes, they'll treat you well. One day you'll meet a nice young prince. She'd always say that.
Then when you get to be 16 years old, you know what will happen?
I'll be married.
It's probably a little young. You'll probably get married.
22.
Something that took place at school and ended up in the kitchen. And that's basically, I had to use the bathroom really bad at school. And I kept on asking the teacher. She says, no, just sit down. I came back and said, please let me go to the bathroom. She says, no, just sit down. I let you out 50 minutes ago. So I couldn't do anything but sit there and wet my pants. So embarrassing. So all the kids, it was time to go and all the kids are getting up. And I go over and I said, Mrs. Smith, I says, I wet my pants and my dress, of course, my skirt was all wet. And I didn't want the kids to see. And so she says, shame on you, shame on you. How could you do that? I said, but I asked her. She says, but still, you should have gone to the bathroom.
I remember once my fifth grade teacher gave me a very hard time. And I went home, fantasized a tremendously successful movie career in Hollywood, in which I then deigned to go back and visit my fifth grade, at which point everybody was sort of falling all over themselves, wanting my autograph and all the rest of it. And I went in and told that teacher off. And I would work out any circumstance in my childhood that I didn't like the way it had turned out. I would go home and daydream it another way.
It's amazing how little things that seemed unjust when you were in elementary school still seem unjust. And you remember all the details. And you still would like to go back and tell them.
So anyway, I was on my way walking home with three of my friends. So I put my underwear inside a little bag, and the air, the wind was blowing, was autumn. And we were stepping on the leaves and talking on our way home, and he said, well, what's in the bag? And I said, oh, nothing, you know, just my orange peelings from lunch. And so she said, oh, I like orange peelings. I love chewing on it. And I said, no, because I want them for myself later. And she kept on insisting that I show her. That's when she and Gerald started playing the game. They snatched the bag and they were throwing it back and forth. And my underwear fell out.
It's not that I want to be mean with her, but she doesn't act like everybody else. She looks very different. She's a good drawer and she dresses very, very different. Not exactly old-fashioned things, but she like dresses mostly. She'd look good if she wore long dresses that went onto her feet. Then you couldn't see her legs and you couldn't see that her stomach sticks out.
On the school bus, they found out that I used to read USSR magazine on the school bus, which was a big mistake because one day they got eggs and threw them at me as I was getting out. So I had no friends at all, and they all hated me on the school bus, so I would retreat. My parents had 15 acres of land, and 9 acres was woods with a mountain and a plateau. That was my imaginary country. And I would have court at the top of the mountain. And the court system probably was really to try the kids on the school bus who used to throw eggs at me and hate me and call me names and try to beat me up in school. The real sentences, though, I never got as far as actually, you know, imprisoning somebody or anything like that, because I didn't have that much power. And I never had that much power in my childhood.
And I ran home, and my mom was there in the kitchen for me, of course. She was sitting there in the kitchen. She says, "Oh, Del Trini, your school called." And I was crying. She says, "Honey, did it make you so upset?" I remember hitting me on my back. And she says, "Oh, my darling, I hope you don't have a cold," little things like that. She just buttered me up and just really hugging me tight, embracing me, rowing, you know, in a rowing motion, moving back and forth. So I told her what happened to my friends, you know, what they did. And she always had a story to apply your story to make you feel good. She'd always use herself as an example. "Oh, when I was young, such and such happened." It may not be a true story, but it's just something to make me feel okay.
"Well, this happened today. I can sit where in any row I want. She never pushes anyone who sits in front of her, and she pushes me."
"Well, there were a bunch of mean kids in my class. There was one, her name was Liz."
And we kind of sit there in the kitchen. She said, "Honey, get your baking pans out." And we made these cute little cutout cookies, and what I never forget, the pile of sugar you put on top of them. So I remember that scene in the kitchen.
Skip Through the Shadows, Scenes from Childhood, In My Mother's Kitchen, was produced by Jenna Allison, with thanks to Susan Stone. Theme music by Larry London. Skip Through the Shadows was made possible by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through National Public Radio's Satellite Program Development Fund.